Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Community focus.
WEEI is proud to be part of the community. The following WEEI public service broadcast is brought to you by the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts.
Community focus.
You're listening to Community Focus with Dr. Darnell Williams from the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts.
Good morning, everyone. This is Darnell Williams. I'm the president and chief executive officer of the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts, welcoming you once again to the Community Focus program, where each week we try to bring personalities and the luminaries into the studio to talk about various issues. And this week is no exceptions. I have two luminaries in the room, not one, but two. We'll hear from them in a moment. If you know anything about the Urban League, and if you've been listening to our show, you would know that we're getting ready to celebrate 100 years of existence here in Boston, in Roxbury, in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and across this nation. What we try to do is to make sure we overcome obstacles for people of color, African Americans, and other people of color, where we are looking at opportunities, not alms, but opportunities. How do we improve race relations and to deal with the issues of economic inequalities or disparities? To do anything of that magnitude for 100 years means that there have been a lot of people who came before me who made the sacrifices to keep the agency going, the corporations as well as the individuals who volunteered their time, folks who made donations and contributions. You can go to our website, www.ulem.org, and you can see our new launched website, and there's actually a place for you to donate. I know I very rarely ask for any assistance, but I'm not too proud to beg. And I think that begging allows you to know that we charge nothing for anybody who comes into our building. There is no charge for them. The only thing we ask for is sweat equity. For example, every Tuesday and Wednesday of every week at 1 o'clock, there are information sessions. We have two new classes that are coming up in the month of May. It's called CLICK. That's Computer Learning and Internet Knowledge. At the end of that training period, you get an iPad. Is it an iPad or is it a notepad? It's a notepad. So you get a notepad, but you got to go to the class so you'll know what a CPU is. You know what a mouse is. You would know what a screen, how to communicate with your family members on the internet. The second class that we'll be offering is customer sales and training. When we talk to employers, what they often say to us, what we can do is we can teach people the technical skills. However, it's the soft skills, how to get along and cooperate with other coworkers. How to survive around the water bubbler. How people shouldn't be calling in the day that you get paid. I know Nana is sick, but they ain't got nothing to do with you showing up to work. So we really want to make sure that you understand that those are the things that you can't do what everybody else does, because that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take care of you. So the Urban League will help you navigate those things, how to dress for success, how to make sure that I know that there's an attitude and a swagger that we need to have in Dudley. But when you go into a downtown environment, you need to know how to cloak that swagger and know how to interface with a different audience. That's what we do. So I want you to be bilingual. And then when you're able to do that, you're successful in how you navigate those navigate those lanes. And I've just been given a correction. It's not that you will get a notepad. You're going to get a Chromebook if you go to CLICK, which is Computer Learning and Internet Knowledge. We get sponsored to put these things on for the community. All you have to do is show up every day, and we, in fact, will make sure that when you come out, you are functionally literate, that you can go on the internet. You can do whatever portal you want to go on and whatever shopping you want to do or communicate with your families, you can do some FaceTime, Facebook, whatever. That's what our job is to do, is to make sure that the digital divide is closed. Now, let me turn to our guests. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
This morning, we have Leah Daniels and Jay Cook in the studio. So I know that they're celebrating a couple of things. So first, as newlyweds, just do a shout out for the newlyweds in the studio.
Hey, us married now.
Two months in.
It's been 2 months and 2 days.
Oh, my gosh. That's a blessing. I'm happy for both of you. And also, there's a birthday in the house.
It is. It's my birthday.
And what do you got surprised for her, Leah?
Well, she has a photo shoot coming in this afternoon. Okay, we're going to go and have some dinner, and I'll leave the rest up for discretion.
That's discretion. That's great. But I never thought about a photo shoot. I had to think about doing that.
Me either. I'm surprised,
so that's a new move. And I'm an OG.
Well, when you're married to a Smithy, you have to step up your game.
Okay.
I'm going to step in and get a quick shout out to my makeup artist, Jenny Flawless. Follow her on Instagram. She's absolutely amazing.
You look great.
Thank you.
Both of you look great. So we're very happy to have you in the studio once again. Leah, first time here, but Jay, you've been here before. We had a very, very substantive conversation, and I was at one of the local establishments, and there was this gentleman standing in line with his daughter, and he said, "I just heard your show." I said, "Well, thank you very much." He says, "Well, not one of my favorite topics." I said, "You must be law enforcement."
That's a good comeback.
And in fact, he was.
I'm sure he was.
He said, "I'm law enforcement." I said, "Well, listen, your daughter is standing with you, so I want you to know that it's coming. It's here. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen."
That's right. Educate yourself.
And so I think that people become polarized, mm-hmm. and there's this stigma that was attached to the cannabis business. And as I said in our last taping, that it's amazing how they can prescribe medication to people mm-hmm. to become addicted. Yeah. And in fact, that they become addicted well beyond their means. That's cool. But then we can find something that grows naturally, but they put a stigma on it that there's something wrong with it. I don't know about you, America, but I got a problem with that. If I can grow something that's going to make me feel good and help me with my medical maladies, then why is there such a wall and a barrier around that? Is that a fair statement, ladies?
That's a very fair statement.
It is. They want to make money off of it.
They've been making money.
They've been making money off it. You can compare it to dandelions. I don't know if you all remember back in the day, they used to say dandelions are the weeds, right? You go and you rip them out of your grass, and then you go and you sprayed your Roundup killer, right? Your Roundup weed killer.
Right.
So now you can literally go into a store and buy dandelion tea, which helps with all kinds of ailments, and Roundup is now causing cancer. So they're going to tell you for years and years and years, it's a weed, rip it out of the ground, it's terrible, throw it away, and then tell you, oh, you have inflammation or you're sick, go into the store and get yourself some dandelion tea. But spray your garden with Roundup.
Okay.
It's the same thing. They need to be able to make money off of it.
Well, anything that's good. Go ahead, Leah. You were going to add in.
From another perspective, the reason why they put such a stigma is because the large pharmaceutical companies make a lot of money off of not curing things. So, of course, if cannabis is a cure for cancer, well, we don't want that. We're really not out here trying to cure people. We're really trying to keep them purchasing our products that eliminate and decrease pain.
I'm going to bring
anxiety,
some medical personnel in here. So, dealing in that industry. But for those of you who are tuning in to the Community Focus program, we have Leah Daniels and Jay Cook. They are business owners. So they're not just sitting here popping off. They're really talking about from a knowledge base of what it is that they know. They put their lives and their livelihood on the line, and we're going to get into more of that. But if we go back to 1937, this thing was called the Controlled Substance Act. Mm. And in 1970, I think it was President Nixon who made it into where it was considered one of the class one law that cannabis was illegal. Mm-hmm. And that's when it all went south. And there are a lot of people in many communities, not just the black community, that have done some serious time because of their what do they call it? Transportation.
Affiliation.
Absolutely. The transportation. The transportation of a commodity that was considered a controlled substance. And now that the Massachusetts has made it legal, and then I just read this past week or so where that the legal establishments are actually proclaiming that the undermarket is outperforming them because of the cost. So as entrepreneur, yeah, so you're laughing because you know, am I hitting the nail right on the head?
Yeah, actually, you hit the nails directly on the head. So the dilemma here is that, let's just be clear, the gray market is definitely alive and active out here.
It's making some serious cheddar.
Yeah, absolutely. Due to the fact that they taxed it to death.
70%.
It's hard to navigate with the underground market who's not taxed to death.
Underground and gray market. I like it. You like it. Those two colors. Don't call it black.
No. Right. Not in my
presence.
Black is beautiful. Worry about that for me. But so it makes it difficult to compete. So if the underground market or the gray market can sell, let's just say, a tray five for $30.
Break it down for the listening audience. Don't know what a tray five.
3.5 grams of marijuana flower.
Thank you, ma'am.
And if they can purchase that for $30, $35, we're being taxed. That difference that of the 50 customarily is $50 for 3.5 grams of marijuana,
right?
But now underground black market can sell it at 35.
You just said black market or gray
underground
market?
Gray market has. I'm sorry,
has to sell it.
For $50 because we're taxed at $15.
Right. Well, the key is that the taxes, and even if you were doing the business, just even on the tray, the fact is that if you had $1 million, the amount of taxes that you have to pay and what you can underwrite in terms of normal business expenses are excluded.
Excluded, absolutely. Correct.
So therefore, your takeaway, $1 million is nothing. You may walk away with 200, maybe 250.
Maybe
250 out of, so that's 700,000. Is going for out the door, up the chimney.
Overhead, cost, cost of goods to purchase, you name it.
How can you make that work then? Legally.
I think the best, I guess the best comparison is, once again, it's for education. So when you do get into the illicit market, the product isn't tested. And so I argue with people. I know it costs more to walk into a dispensary and pay more, but I always debate with people that you should still pay that amount because, once again,
you know
it's
what you're
tested.
Getting. You get what you pay for.
Exactly.
You don't know what your stuff is laced with.
You have no idea.
You have no idea where the mother's
and
was.
And once you start to get into dispensaries, you start to get into research where they're actually trying to find specific cannabis strains that are geared towards a specific ailment. So right. For headaches or for sleep or for nausea.
Whereas
for the most part, if you go to your street corner dealer, they could make up a name. You know what I mean? They tell you what it is. It doesn't necessarily have to be that or where it was grown or how it was grown or what's
people
in it.
Medicate. Everyone using cannabis is medicating themselves for one reason or another.
Absolutely.
And until you find out what that is for you, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's sleep apnea, maybe it's an inability for an appetite, maybe it's pain. Each strain and each strand does something totally different. Where your underground gray market person distributing that product,
they don't care what
doesn't
you're
care
using
what
for.
It is, doesn't care whether it's going to help you or hurt you. So if you have anxiety,
right,
taking a sativa is just going to amplify your anxiety. You would need an indica. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
To mellow that anxiety out.
Right.
That gray market person does not know that or have that kind of knowledge and or care. They have a bag full of product. You either want that bag that they got or you don't. Period.
So how do you reconcile to the general public now? Because people are riding by in their cars, they're walking by, and I'm getting a whiff. Just like, if I stand there long enough, I'll be right there with them, so to speak. How do we deal with that as a society?
I'll let you take that one, Jason.
Can you repeat that one more time?
In other words, you're walking by, people are smoking right out in the street.
Right.
The cars drive by, you get a strong hint
right,
of what's going on. The music is already loud.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're rolling, and it's early in the day.
Right.
So how do we deal with that? How do we reconcile with that from a cultural standpoint of view?
I think they need to, once again, equate it to, for example, alcohol. You know, you don't have, you would never drive by and see someone with an open container or drinking a beer.
You're gonna go to jail.
Exactly. And so it's the same. And unfortunately, with legalization, we do have more people and more of our people going to jail under legalization than they did under prohibition.
Sweet.
So I would say for them to, one, be careful and be cautious.
Be responsible.
Smart. Absolutely. But then also, keep repeating it, it is an election year. And so we need
What do you mean by
that? It's an election year and we need consumption licenses. So there are things that we need. And so it's time for us to vote in the people that are going to push our agenda forward.
Okay.
That's what that means. So that means that if there are changes that you want to make, so I also think it's unfair that there aren't comfortable and safe places to smoke.
Mm-hmm,
if you don't own your own home, right, which we already know the income disparity in our inner cities, which means most of us are not the ones that own homes. So if you don't own your own home and you're renting, you have to have the permission from that landlord to smoke in the house. There are no social consumption.
Back up. You're saying that I rent an apartment from ABC Corporation. I have to get permission for my landlord to say I can smoke marijuana legally.
Absolutely. You don't own that home.
You don't own it, but I'm paying my rent.
No, it doesn't give you the right. Just like they can tell you they don't want cigarettes. This is a non-smoking apartment. They can say the same thing. Also, federal housing. You cannot, it's federally still illegal. So you cannot smoke in any subsidized or federal-based housing, which means there are no...
Are you trying to tell me you think that everybody's complying with that?
No, So here's the issue.
Okay.
Maybe they are, maybe they're not, but then that's once again, it's another risk.
But they're raising the risk of being evicted because they are...
And incarcerated.
Or losing your Section 8 or losing
your subsidy.
However, if there were open, for example, parks or open or consumption cafes available for you to smoke, which is one of the licenses that have not been released yet, then there would be safe and comfortable spaces for, like, you can go into a bar
and
have a drink. You can go into the club and have a drink. There are places you can, even in the privacy, like you said, if you're home, whether you're renting or not, you can easily have a drink. So those same rules and laws don't apply to cannabis at this moment. And so when I tell people it's an election year, that means you get to pick and choose, once again, who is pushing your agenda forward.
All right, go ahead, Leah.
Let me just touch base on something that is very, 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 very powerful right now in our community. If we don't figure out what we're going to do with cafes and consumption lounges and how we bring this to the forefront in our community, we will go to jail in droves because the laws now, because it's legal, can now be enforced against us in a way in which they were enforced before it became legal, if not even worse. So you can't walk down the street and smoke a joint. Not that that's okay, but I'm just saying, without now, there's a legal ramification from that, more so than it was when it was illegal,
just
because now
morning,
there's a legal precedence.
Just this morning, I walked about 10 people that were looking at me as I'm looking at them, and they were doing their number, getting ready to roll and light up. And I don't have to say where I was at, but my point is that everybody hasn't got that memo.
Exactly. Right. That's why we continue to tell our people of color, educate yourself, understand these laws, and stand up for your rights around cannabis. There is no reason why we have rolled out legalities around cannabis and we still don't have a legal place for us to consume and or medicate without that being illegal.
All right,
that's a setup for failure.
Hold on 1 second, Leah. See, when I hear the word consume, I think of recreational. When I hear the medicate, that means that I'm taking it for medical purposes.
Everyone that engages in cannabis, whether they realize it or not, are medicating themselves.
Absolutely.
Right? You just don't know what you're medicating yourself for. Now, even for recreational activities, some people are so strong at the end of the day that they finish work that they don't know how to relax and have downtime. And so they
medicate themselves.
Okay. Well, they will medicate themselves in order not to bring that baggage, say, home. So when they get home, they're relaxed, they can eat. You know what I'm saying? They're mellow.
De-stress yourself.
And I have a better one for you. How about it doesn't matter? It's legal.
Mean?
It doesn't matter if you want to medicate or use it recreationally. If you go and you crack open a beer, I don't ask you, hey, is that for medical purposes? I could care less. So I feel like, once again, that stigma is still against cannabis. If you want, and I think it's also important to say, Leah and I are both non-smoking consumers. Neither one of us smoke, because usually as soon as you get into these conversations, oh, you all just want to smoke and be high. Technically, we do not. But if you do, that's your prerogative. And that's also part of the problem is shaming people because they want to roll up a blunt or they want to vape or they want to enjoy cannabis. For whatever the reason, the fact that it is legal in our state and you have the ability to enjoy it, for whatever the reason, that stigma also needs to be dropped. It shouldn't matter if you want to medicate or use recreationally. It's an option at this point, and you should be able to take it in any way you want.
Please explain when you talk about vape, because you guys are insiders.
Oh, okay.
We have listening artists. They have, you know, some people still deal in Pac-Man.
Right. So vaping is just like they have electronic cigarettes. They have electronic pens that have cannabis oils in them.
Okay.
And
CBD.
Some of them are CBD and some are THC. And some of them are THC. And some of them are fully extracted. Some of them are just distillate. So once again, this comes down to educating yourself and doing research. There are different levels of oils and concentrates that can be in vapes. And that's also something that you would not get on the illicit market. They're going to attempt to sell their product. They're not going to say, well, this is a distillate, which absolutely has no or very, very little medical value to it. Whereas if you're getting full cannabis extractions, meaning all your terpenes are there, you're not losing any of the medicinal values. Exactly.
Right, right.
So there are, you know, different cartridges that you can add to your vaping pen in order to vape. And then when you go to blow out that smoke, it's just like vape particles. So you're not getting that same hint of marijuana you usually get when someone's smoking.
When someone has marijuana, you can tell immediately what they're smoking because of the residual smell and it lingers in your clothes. People get in and come to a meeting and say, well, I was with some, I don't smoke, but I was with somebody that does smoke.
And it'll be there.
But you're walking around smelling like if you were, just because you were with
them. It'll be there. And you have a lot of, you know, your OGs, your original growers, or people who enjoy, you know, rolling up a blunt and smoking a blunt. A vape is just another way to either conceal smoking or
they have dabs now where you got to take these little crystal pellets and drop them into this thing
in
and blow torch it and smoke it almost like crack. This is evolving. Right. That people who are engaging in these products are getting and becoming even more creative with the depth of which they consume this product and how in various different ways in which to consume it. Some of it looks like little crack rocks and it's not really. Some of it's like a waxy paste. Some of it's crushed up and
grown
like
a hash.
There's
so many ways in which you can use this product that people are being creative with for medicinal purposes.
Absolutely.
That, you know, it's not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen, is what I guess I want people to understand.
No, it's not.
Let's adapt. Let's adjust. Let's make it so that it's safe for our communities to engage and that we're not being put out of our homes, being incarcerated again based on this product.
I was going to say open-minded to all the possibilities of using it. So we have a hairline product, shampoo, conditioner.
And what does that do?
It helps, once again, because cannabis has healing properties. It helps heal your scalp. So if you have dandruff or psoriasis, it helps
asthma. Maybe asthma.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anything like that, helping the pores in your scalp to be healthy, allowing the hair follicles to receive the nutrients that it needs.
Okay.
And we have our own line of chapsticks. So anything that...
But this product, this hair product, let's be really clear. This is for people of color, okay?
That is true.
So it has a hemp root in it. It has hemp oil. It has all kinds of cannabis products that we have infused it with in order for it to be healthy for people of color.
Right.
Because let's be clear, there's no one out here making products like this for people of color.
So you guys are the Madam C.J. Walker.
Yeah, and if you know it.
It's called the New Moon Hairline.
It is.
And
New Moon. Hold on. New Moon what?
New Moon Hairline.
Hairline products. We have shampoo, conditioners, hot oil treatments.
A hair grow.
We have a hair grow. We also have topical products for people of color, which is a shea butter. We have an alleviated olive oil.
You have any in the truck? Because I need some.
Yeah, we do. We have samples that we can donate.
We have a ton. We now have tea bags.
My producers are looking at me. Don't forget about us.
I got you.
It was clear that we needed to do something for people of color.
Absolutely.
That's really important because
this is a $1.8 billion industry that is growing. Absolutely. We have people who are entering. You guys are on the front line dealing with the challenges.
And we're getting shot
between,
up.
Yeah. You know who goes first? The person on the point?
Literally. Feeling like pawns out here.
We'll be all right.
But think about it in this sense. And then you also have people like yourself, not you per se, but then if they find a way to get into the business, because it takes you $1.3 million to $3 million to get into the retail side of the operation.
Yes, it's easy.
Now, I don't know about you guys. I know I'm $2,999,000 short. Let's be real clear. I know I'm short. So if I met somebody that's going to give me $3 million to become involved in the business, sign me up.
Right.
You know, Darnell, let's just be clear. Alchemy League, myself, my team, my wife, have gotten this far without owing anyone a dime. Mm-hmm. And trust and believe, and you know me, I think, to know, I'm not sitting on $2.9 million either.
But you're making it work.
Strategy, absolutely, yeah. Because we, as people of color, have always had to figure out how to make it work. This is just an industry we have to figure out.
Okay? But here's the challenge. When we know that these 51 licenses are going to be coming into the city of Boston, mm-hmm. why is it that we're beating up on black people who are trying to open up business that want to hire black people?
I'm going
to
take this one. Let me tell you why.
I think
why.
I hit a nerve.
Well, I'll start and break it down for Dr. D. It's just like any other issues that we have in the hood, right? Violence or things like that. It's us against us. So let's put it this way. Mattapan right now, they're almost at competition. Like, I'm ready for shots to go off on one street to the other. So if big money comes in and gets the top three locations, it doesn't leave, you have these buffer spaces, these buffer zones. So it only leaves a couple of spaces. It leaves you fighting because you feel like, well, you were born and raised in Mattapan and I was born and raised in Mattapan, and Joe Schmo from out the country who has that $3-5 million can come in and gobble up all of the properties. So that leaves you and I to fight with the last property that's left over.
But let me push back just for a second. Mm-hmm. If I got three white men from South Boston competing, mm-hmm. that's called marketplace competition.
Absolutely.
But why is it that black folks get labeled that we're cannibalistic?
Okay.
On the same, come on.
Well, I'll let you get that one.
It's my turn.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll tag you in.
So, okay, thank.
Am I hitting all the issues?
Yeah, let me just chime in real quick. So, because we have always been depicted as being cannibalistic long before cannabis came into this industry. Yes. So, every little single thing that we do when we try to go to school and get a proper education, we were pickaninnies and couldn't figure it out. Dumb, stupid, not can't figure out math. When it's time to go and get a job, now we know that your parents who could afford to pay for your education paid for your education. All people of color had to earn it. I don't have a $1 million parent that can spend $500,000 to pay for somebody to take my SAT. I have to take them on my own. So now we get here, we earn our way here, and that same person whose parents paid for that education thinks they're smarter than us and now wants to know how'd you get here, mm-hmm. right? So we've consistently been oppressed and depressed and marginalized in this United States of America. Cannabis, and in Boston, and let me be specifically clear, I miss Mayor Menino. He wasn't the perfect mayor, but he was fair. Marty, we appreciate you. But the discrepancies that are going on in the capital city of the state of Massachusetts and Boston is ridiculous and totally and completely unnecessary. Take the helm, figure it out, execute some strategies, put some zoning in place, and stop all this bickering back and forth and back and forth. And if you don't want equality, then simply decide which one of your constituents you're going to give these licenses to and give them. Stop playing these games with the back and the forth, wasting people's time and money.
Councilor Wu and Councilor Janey are calling it equity.
Yes.
And they've carved out language where people of color who've been impacted. Mm-hmm. But then, for example, if I think about one of our former counselors who, in fact, has received resources in order to open up. And so I think about him, the three folks who are competing in Mattapan right now for one or two locations. That's where it's troubling to me that we have folks who will say, I will be dead before I allow one of these facilities to be in my neighborhood.
So let me me be clear, people of color and our communities of color, they're coming to your neighborhood. The choice for you is, are they going to look like you, or are they going to look like somebody from Canada, Australia, New Zealand, or wherever they're coming from, not from your community? They will be here.
They're going to come. Right? And the question becomes is that, we hire our people.
We do.
So the challenge becomes is that it's coming. We know that 51 licenses are going to be issued because it was based upon the number of liquor licenses in the city. So that's what the legislation calls for.
Correct.
We don't have the resources. So when we're going to talk about it in a minute and the next side, but you guys have worked and put sweat equity to get where you are.
Absolutely.
So I want you to be sure to tune in again and listen to next week when we will continue this conversation right here on 93.7 WEEI.
Community Focus.
Thanks for listening to Community Focus with Dr. Darnell Williams. Be sure to tune in next week for another segment of Community Focus.
Community Focus.
This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI and WEEI.com, Boston.
Community Focus.
WEEI is proud to be part of the community. The following WEEI public service broadcast is brought to you by the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts.
Community Focus.
You're listening to Community Focus with Dr. Darnell Williams from the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts.
Good morning, everyone. This is Darnell Williams. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts, welcoming you once again to the Community Focus program, where each week we try to bring personalities and luminaries into the studio to talk about various issues. And this week is no exceptions. I have two luminaries in the room, not one, but two. Leah Daniels and Jay Cook. Newlyweds, business women, smart, savvy. We're talking about the real deal of what's happening at the ground at the city level. 51 licenses will be, in fact, installed in the city of Boston. The question becomes the composition of what those 51 will look like. Will they look like you? Would look like people who have suffered under these, what I call arcane federal laws and law enforcement, and now we have a chance to make money. Some of us are really good at what we do.
Let me chime in from out of hand. I've been biting my tongue on this one.
Okay, well, chime in.
So, for the community, and then I'm not defending anyone, and I'm not, but I need to be clear. There is not another individual in our community that is reaching back to us saying, hey, I don't have all of the answers, but I have some options and some solutions. Now, it is up to people of color to evaluate what that option is, present it to somebody who can actually go through it and process it, change it, scratch out stuff, add stuff, make it fit for you, make sure your legal team has evaluated it, and then push it back. It's not concrete in stone that you have to accept something that does not work for you beneficially and in
but
your
why
business.
And I don't know, I don't want to paint this brush that this is all bad, but why do we make it personal?
We've been trying to survive for a long time.
When you say we as a people?
We as a people.
Okay.
It's always been about survival, right? Who do you gotta get through and who do you have to know? For us, we still haven't quite gotten to that calm, peacefulness of I'm actually thriving now.
Okay.
Right, and I'm enjoying. So if you're continuously fighting and continuously in survival mode, everyone around you, it doesn't matter if that person looks like you, a family member, a bit of your community, everyone's an enemy. Everyone is an enemy because you are trying
until they prove themselves different.
Right, and then how long does that take?
Not long, about 30 seconds.
we beat up on each other so well that nobody outside needs to. So we'll beat up on the Mattapan person that's gotten the money, that's trying to, you know, figure out their plight in this particular industry.
That's right.
They'll beat up on people that look like me because I'm trying to come into the Roxbury neighborhood, but none of that is owned and operated by any people that look like me anyway, so it's easier to beat up on me. And then my community will come out and beat up on me as well. Rather than rally behind us and support us, if you have something to say negative about me, Darnell, you know where I am. Pull me me aside and cuss me out to a fairly well face to face, but I don't see me in public and try to degrade me, battle me, and go up against me, because all of that does is continue to separate us from each other.
And other people can sit back and watch you.
Absolutely.
And what does it say? Divide and conquer.
Absolutely.
And that's the reason I wanted to spend time, because you've had some experiences in the city of Boston trying to get a location.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, you talked about that where it was convoluted.
That is a great word. That encompasses all of our pain and tears sweat equity.
I went to school to learn that word.
That was good. I like that school. HBCU?
We know you took your SAT yourself.
Right, you took it yourself. That was that reading comprehension section.
Yeah, it's called critical thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Exactly.
But my point.
It was a mess. We won't even get into the details, because we've said it before on the show. I've said it before on the show. It was a mess. It was unfair. And Leah and I are both business owners outside of cannabis. I own a pickup and delivery laundry service, and Leah is a code compliance inspector. And so we both own our own businesses. So we're up for fair fights.
Okay.
You know?
A fair fight, right? Well, let me just say to our listening audience, if you're just tuning in to Leah Daniels and Jay Cook, they're business women who are talking about their experiences in the cannabis industry. But I love this analogy that folks want us to run barefoot on a rock track when they got high-tech shoes and they get a 10-yard start ahead of you, and they want you to outbeat them. Is that what you mean? Is that what we call equity?
Yeah. According to the city of Boston.
Here's the deal. If they wanted to do something equitable in the city of Boston, they can. The outskirts towns that have put overlay maps in for zoning are very friendly and welcoming. They understand that this industry is here. The biggest battle is coming from the very neighborhood that I have paid taxes for, that I have fought for, that I have lived around here, that I have been redlined, Roxbury. My taxes was redlined. My insurance was redlined. They were selling houses for a dollar 20 years ago when I purchased that home.
You didn't buy that house on the South End.
No, I did it better. I'm in Fort Hill. But nevertheless, now that it's not that difficult to live here in this community, it has been overrun and taken over, so that there is no minority real representation out here to assist. And the only thing we're doing to each other, and the city can change this if they wanted to, was put in an overlay map for zoning.
So
lay
stop,
out
stop
where
right
we
there,
can go.
Stop right there. When you say an overlay map, break it down for people so they can understand. An overlay of Roxbury?
So you'll know where each
facility will be, where it is not near a school, not near a church.
I got you.
But that's tough, because we got churches on every block.
It's called zoning. So the city of Boston has a zoning map, which tells you here in this particular area, you can have a nightclub. Right. You can have a gas station. You can have a church. You can have a liquor store. You can have a school. All of that is zoning.
What
you do with the overlay map is you look at all of the areas in zoning and you pick out locations in those areas,
those particular entities in the zone.
Exactly. Not a particular build. You can't pick out a building. You can't say, you can only operate out of 213. But you can pick out a block. So you can pick out from 200 block of Washington Street to 299 is the zoning map laid in that area. You can put a dispensary, a cultivation location. You can do
as long as the neighbors are
it doesn't matter. It's legal. Marijuana is legal. The neighbors, you can address your concerns like you did with liquor stores,
but it's
irrelevant. We're going to hear you and we'll try to address any issues and concerns, but it is legal and it is here. And when you zone out areas, which means the city will zone out whether you're in a 500 square foot radius of a school, a city will figure out whether you're in a radius of a daycare or a park or something that they don't want you to operate.
So these are the real issues that we're dealing with.
Oh, absolutely. And until you do an overlay zoning, meaning saying these are the areas in which cannabis can operate in the city of Boston city has designated.
So we got 51 that are coming. So you're saying that they need an overlay for the entire city of Boston, because right now we have folks are opening up a medical, and now they got recreational right in Brookline.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I think we got one down on by the garden. That's what'll be coming online.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Isn't that the old sheriff before Cabral, she was arrested?
Well,
people.
I don't know if I would call. Now I'm not going to say on the radio that the sheriff is old, but I would say she is a former.
Former.
Thank you for the correction. She was a former sheriff that was arresting people of color for cannabis many years ago, who is now in the industry and has found funding to open up a dispensary. No disrespect. I just find it ironic, to say the least. That's all.
Well, but people can see opportunities, and is there anything wrong with that?
I guess she saw the same opportunities when she was incarcerating people of color as well for cannabis.
Well, we have to get her on here and let her explain the answer to that question.
I would love that conversation.
And so I think but what we want to do is that, but that's almost consistent what we said about when people move into a direction. I don't know all the reasons, all the rationale, but we're talking about this zoning map.
Exactly.
And where we can put these 51 locations, so the location should be known, or the zone should be known.
The zone should be known.
Because I think, Leah, when you were here along with Leonard Lee the last time, we were talking, Jay.
It's okay.
Yeah, I got you. Birthday girl.
That's me.
The point is that you have to have ownership, site control. You're paying money for the rent, and you don't know if you're going to get a license
or not. Absolutely.
So that means time and money are being spent while you're trying to get out the gate.
I have one better for you. Let me top that one. How about you have your community meeting, and now you've announced your location, and now someone that does have that $3 million, because you've worked out a deal with the owner, now they come in and outbid you on the space and snatch your location, because that's what happened to us. How about that? So
call that marketplace competition, or do I call that Boston two-step?
I call it Boston two-step.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's what's happening. And so what I say, and this is, it's hard to say and it's hard for people to accept, but I say, why are you still waiting around for Boston? That's always my challenge to people.
Because we got 351 cities and towns in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
That's right.
And everybody wants to become a retail operation as opposed to dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot more aspects to this business that we have not began to discuss.
That's true.
You got to have, I met the woman at a panel that I was at about 2 weeks ago, who has opened up their credit union in the central part of the state.
That's right.
They are accepting cash from the dispensaries.
That's right.
But the fact is that they are keeping it quiet in terms of how they can provide secure transportation for your funds.
That's right.
Because now we don't have anybody in Boston talking about that.
No.
So transportation and security is one of those issues.
Absolutely.
And so I think the key is that we are missing the point. Packaging.
As absolutely.
Manufacturing.
Yeah. Manufacturing.
Cultivating.
Research studies.
Research.
Construction.
And
carpentry.
Training.
Yeah.
And training. Somebody got to train those people.
True. I think that's
research.
True.
Research. So labs.
But I'm thinking, I'm in the training space, so we got to train these people to come work with y'all.
What did we meet with this week? We met with the Department of Agriculture to get our hemp license.
Yeah, our hemp license.
The people, so
how
hemp
many licenses do y'all got?
We can't tell you that. Not
so, okay.
A secret.
Stay in my lane?
No, Darnell. I just wanted to do this plug for training. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when weatherization insulation training was coming on board, and we had all of this ARRA funding that came down, and we didn't have anybody that was trained up to do these jobs. We're in that same dilemma right
there's
now.
There's a skill gap.
So Alchemy has decided to take on that challenge and create a nonprofit called 10 Fingers to assist in training, especially for people in my community, because here's what I'm clear about. Until you can come from where I come from, you can't address the certain issues that I'm going to have coming into your workforce. I'm sorry, I keep tapping in it.
No, they told me not to tap, and then you tap.
I'm sorry. We have to train ourselves, and it's called GIFT. It's called Green Industry Funded Training. We have been talking with Holyoke Community College, Springfield Technical College, the mayor in Holyoke, and soon you, Darnell, now sure. in reference to how we can put this package and this training together so that our people don't miss this in this part of the industry. Because if it's all predominantly not people of color, then you can only
well, that's
assume
usually
that
the, case.
The people that are working in there are not people of color. So we have to figure out how to get our people into this
and
industry
and train
them.
And that's the reason why I broached the conversation that we all are thinking that we're all going to get rich because we're going to go into the retail operation mm-hmm. and not understand the pain and the challenges mm-hmm. associated. You need to have a strong business acumen in order to make this work at the level because everything is inspected. Everything has to be approved.
You can be an inspector. That's okay. a job.
That's a job.
That is a job. All those things are important. You could be someone that does the research testing or the transportation, just like you said. It's more than just transporting money. You got to transport supplies.
Security
transport
has to be provided. Because
security.
You as
armed
an owner
security.
Cannot have any firearms
you cannot.
On your facility because that is a federal law. And they can come in and shut you down.
But we can have armed guards outside.
And that's what they do in Brookline.
Exactly.
They stand right out there on Route 9,
They're
standing there and they patrol the building. You got one entrance to go in. I haven't been in there yet, but they have one entrance to go in and one entrance to come out.
What about even a driving service? Just like people use their Ubers and their Lyfts when they're too drunk
distribution.
To drive.
Yeah, distribution.
Uber Eats. How about cannabis Eats?
Uber Eats.
It's true.
And then you have the major retailers now are starting to get into the business of providing the CBD products in their store. High-end stores. I'm tapping again.
Absolutely.
But you know what? But the point is that so everybody is getting into this industry and we're still complaining about it being in our community.
That's the reason.
That's the problem. I got a head snap. And I don't understand our thinking. Help me.
Once again, it comes down to education, and that's what we attempt to do in every meeting that we have, every panel that we're on, even here now. It's educate yourself. It is an entire industry. And if we have to be realistic in the way our technology moves and the way we advance, how long, once cannabis is or marijuana is legal nationwide, and it is federally legal.
It's expanding as we speak.
Right.
Every state.
How long will it be before dispensaries are obsolete? Because malls right now are obsolete.
What do you mean they're obsolete? Malls.
People
are obsolete.
Aren't going into malls the same way. Malls are getting shut down left and right. People are not walking into malls the same way, getting dressed.
But talk about why. Because people,
they
shopping
order online.
Options.
Yes.
They are ordering
they're
online.
Now, there are now shoppers that'll shop for you. You get to go in, type in
personal
your style.
Shoppers.
Yeah, what you like. And they'll mail it to you. Why can't the same thing be done for cannabis? I'm giving out ideas now. They're free.
Because they have not opened up that opportunity yet in the state of Massachusetts. That transportation delivery.
But you can put yourself in a position to be prepared for it.
Right, exactly.
We are looking at locations in case we want to be prepared for consumption cafes. We haven't decided if that's necessarily what we want to take on, it's in the back of our minds. We're thinking about it, and I know it's hard, but you don't have to stay in Boston. Mm. You get, for each license, you get 3 locations. So
that's the max that the law says.
For each license.
You can get up to 3 dispensaries,
3 cultivation licenses,
and 3 manufacturing.
3 research labs. 3 research labs. Once the cafes are open, 3 cafes. Like, you could have up to 3.
So you can have up to 12.
Get a cousin. Get a brother. Why not? Everyone else. Fernandez Liquors does it. Don't they have like 15 liquor stores? And it's their cousin and their brother and their nephews.
And it's still Fernandez.
All of them. So it's a possibility.
I ain't going there with you.
I love Fernandez. Don't get me
wrong. No, I do. I think it's an amazing model, actually.
It is.
And
it's
I think
a great
if
model.
Someone looks
they
for it.
They buy up all the liquor stores in our communities.
Sell
and
the blueprint. I'm not mad at them.
Fernandez with
the
Z.
You can go out to East Bumfu in a town that no one's ever heard of. Open up your one location, make your money, and now come back into Boston with money, power, and influence. And that is what I challenge people to do.
Here's a dilemma. Okay. Most people in our community leave out of our community.
They don't even leave their own. They stay in their little bubble.
So to ask them to leave off their block per se, and venture out 45 miles east, west, north, or south, and introduce yourself to someone who doesn't look like you about a building and a location to sell marijuana and cannabis that you already feel like has a stigma behind it, mm-hmm. you've already been incarcerated behind it, is a stretch.
It's a stretch
for them to do. So once again, I'm back to being about solutions. So I have stretched myself and I have stretched my team to extend finding locations and to extend finding funding and to extend training so that maybe I can reach down and give somebody 10 fingers. Like, okay, look, I know you haven't figured all of it out, but here, I have a location I don't need. Here.
Okay, gotcha.
Let me help you.
If you're just, this is the Community Focus program. Leah Daniels and Jay Cook are here, and they have been really enlightening us in terms of what their real on-the-ground experiences are. But let me just spend a few minutes talking about the Urban League's training and information sessions. Every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 o'clock, you can come in and get information about the programs. We have two programs that are currently running. One is our coding program for 20 weeks, and then our digital program, digital design, and that runs for 16 weeks. But coming up in May, we're going to have CLICK, which is Computer Learning and Internet Knowledge, and our customer sales and training classes. Those are going to come up, and if you go to the information sessions at the Urban League, we will inform you of what those training programs can do for you. Ladies, we are really hitting all of the cylinders. But if there's an area that we have not talked about that we probably should talk about, is how are you finding, as you mentioned, Leah, going into these other cities and towns? What's the receptability of when you go into these other towns?
I'm going to say this with a smile, because now that I know we're being recorded. They are the most friendliest, welcoming, kind, helpful. Overlay maps. Let me see if this is, you can call and speak to some of those people and they'll tell you, no, sorry, you're like right on the outskirts. You should go down to the left, you know, so it's from this school location to that particular
building.
So
they're very, very helpful.
Very
informative.
Very informative. Already understand that cannabis is here. That's not the debate anymore, whether cannabis is coming. It's coming and they are looking for the revenue that cannabis is going to generate
for
their municipality. They are looking for it.
Because the taxes are preset by the State Cannabis Control Board.
Right. Yeah. Holyoke is so warm.
Okay.
That mayor in Holyoke has laid out exactly what he wants his town to look like, how cooperative
he is
going to be.
How many licenses are they
going
to have in Holyoke?
They don't have a limit and or a restriction.
They don't
have buffer zones. They don't have any of these issues and concerns that we're dealing with in the capital of the state of Massachusetts, once again, which is ridiculous, do not have that problem in Holyoke. And Holyoke is blighted. It has gone through its transition from paper mills.
I lived in Springfield for 30 years, so I know Holyoke.
We know the transition, right?
Yeah.
And they're willing and open and they want that revenue. They're looking for consumption cafes. They're looking to help you navigate through the process for the state. Anything they can do to be helpful, they're helpful. And that's just one city.
Now, when you talk about, you have to get your license by the state first before you go and get your host agreement from the city. Is that correct?
No.
So is it the reverse?
That's the misnomer. At least that's what we were told.
It's kind of like filling the gaps from both ends until you meet in the middle, if that makes sense. So whatever city or town you're in, you have to fill out an application for that city or town. And then you have to also fill out an application for the state. So once you've gotten through the city completely, you can fill out your state application in full while you're waiting on, for example, your location, your lease from the location.
But hold on, I'm back up. You're saying that you can do a city application.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you had to do the state application first.
No, because you have to remember, in order for you to have a complete application with the state, you have to have a community host agreement signed by the mayor of the city you're going to be in.
City or town.
So that has to be, that's a complete application that has to go into the state. So you can start the state, and you can start whatever city you're in. And again, it's kind of like meeting in the middle.
As you were saying, they need to be merged.
Exactly. But all of that information, that signed lease or that signed lease agreement, at at least that says, or hey,
site control.
If some type of site control.
Site control.
Absolutely.
For
and
the location.
Then a community host agreement that is signed off by the mayor of that town or city, that has to, that's a completed package that has to go with that application to the state.
What I've been hearing is that once that people are hearing that you're talking about bringing cannabis into their particular site, the numbers go up. Is that true? Oh,
it's called the cannabis tax.
Really?
So you
it's
start
like a
off
wedding.
$15 and a square foot.
Yes.
As soon as they hear cannabis, oh, I want 50. Some people have even said I want $100 a square foot.
How
it's
about,
unattainable.
There's owners that know nothing about cannabis and they walk away as a partner in the businesses. That's okay. How bad it is.
That's how. So in other words, it's like taking a ride in Chicago from the airport to McCormick Place, and by the time you get there, you know the deal is already done.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. No, it's serious.
It's called the Watusi.
It's serious.
Oh my God.
But the further we're learning, the further you get outside of the city, the less and less you find that being a problem.
Okay. So you're saying to go do your fortune. Sometimes we're in corporate, how we used to say, sometimes you have to go out before you can go up.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's what you're saying to me.
Yeah,
because what's going to happen, community, is you're going to sit here and you're going to exert every last single dime, mm-hmm.
and
energy and time,
karma.
as this whole train is still rolling into other stations.
Absolutely.
You're still stuck at Ruggles waiting for the next train to come and try to get on. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, it ain't stopping at Ruggles anymore.
Right.
It's going to move. It's going back. It's going all the way up to Jackson. And in a minute, it won't stop at Jackson anymore. Mm-hmm. It'll go all the way up to Forest Hills. And in a minute, it won't stop at Forest Hills anymore. But you'll still be waiting at Ruggles.
You're still waiting.
But you'll still be waiting.
Instead of getting on the bus and taking a skateboard and finding
a
city cycle and getting yourself there to meet the train. And you might have to do both. And I tell people, you also have to decide what it is you're going to do. So we've worked with MRCC. And I think everyone should definitely look them up, support them, donate to them.
What is MRCC?
Massachusetts
Recreational Cannabis Council, MRCC.
That sounds right, yes.
Okay.
And I can tell you, Joe was one of the co-founders. He's absolutely amazing. You can find him on Facebook. You can Google him. You can find him. And they're doing a lot of the fighting.
They're doing the advocacy for you.
Yes, they're. And so the best way, and we can't be at every meeting.
No,
and we've assisted Kim Janey with rewriting that ordinance. We were at all of her meetings in assistance. But once we kind of got kicked out of Roxbury, we didn't necessarily give up on Boston, but we had to be able to divide and conquer. And so some of our teammates will make sure they're at a meeting or two. But if you can support groups that are already doing the fight, then support them and ask them, what do they need? How can we write a letter? How can we make a couple of phone calls? What can we do in support of your efforts? Because I can't slow down on my efforts.
Right, right.
You know, we can't stop working our regular jobs that are bringing our businesses, that are bringing in our money in order to get us further into this.
I was
industry.
No longer going to waste any more of my time or my team's time
or money
battling the constraints of the Boston Good Old Boy system. Just wasn't going to do it. Yep, I took my hard knocks, I put my big girl panties on, and I kept it moving.
And not to say it didn't hurt.
If my company is going to be in this industry, now is the time. I'm not up for waiting for 2 years until you figure out how you're going to fund social equity. By then, it'll be too late. The whole game will have changed by then, and you'll be behind the eight ball. I had to lead my team to a successful place of opening. So that's the goal
that's
and aspiration.
Where you are.
Of course, my next conversation is we're open.
Okay, gotcha.
You know what I mean? And that wasn't waiting for Boston to figure out whether they were going to allow us to open.
So I think the key is that what you're really doing is you're giving us a real good, strong insight at some of the challenges. What other challenges are you confronted with as this industry is emerging?
Definitely finding a location.
Location.
When you do find a location, you're right, those numbers do go up from $15 or $20 a square foot to $50, $100. Now you somehow take it on a partner that you didn't start out with. And one thing that's happening in Boston, that's the reason why we've been comfortable enough to leave, is transparency. You know, once they go in, they close those doors, and they make a decision on who's getting a license, that's not transparent at all. You have no idea if having 10 people on your team or having 15 people on your team that have all the bad background and all the knowledge that you have is actually going to get you a license over someone else. There is no framework as to exactly how they choose their licensees. So what that's not transparent at all. So you're kind of, you could put in all this money, all this time, and bring a bunch of people to a well that's dry.
So let me ask you this question then. In all of this effort that you're doing, how are you guys surviving? You said surviving and thriving. So you're spending money. Mm-hmm. You're not open. So how do you make it work?
We've been blessed and favored. I've been in real estate a long time. I've been in training, as you know, Darnell. I'm a general contractor. I'm a code compliance inspector. And the only reason why we're really getting as far as we have gotten is because we work for ourselves. If I had to punch in a 9 to 5, forget about it.
Okay, gotcha.
I wouldn't have the time, the energy. I wouldn't be able to generate the kind of capital. I work for myself. So I can take a $10,000 contract and put $8,000 towards keeping the business running and operating and functioning, paying certain things. Jason can get a $10,000 contract. So now collectively we have $16,000. I don't have to come to you and borrow $5,000. Okay. I don't have to go.
So you guys are being very, very smart about it.
You have to be very strategic. And we have a team. I'm not going to leave our team out. Leah is the sole owner of Alchemy, and I definitely do all the running behind the background. But we have an amazing team that has put in a ton of sweat equity. It's been a year in 4 months now.
It's about $2 million with the sweat equity.
And they have worked butts off. And that's keeping us compliant, making sure we know the rules and the laws, assisting with our nonprofit, making sure the taxes and things, because you can make no money. They still want to see your tax return.
Spend a few minutes there, because the fact is that people don't realize you got to report everything.
You do have to report everything, even if that everything is zero.
The dirt you mash up.
Literally.
Get rid of the product that you don't
know. No, you do.
You have to weigh it.
Yes.
You have to weigh it.
You do.
Oh my God.
In order for you to so once again, there's another job though. There's another company is disposal and proper disposal. So you can take your cannabis. When you're done with it, you've gotten everything out of it that you possibly can. Now you got shards, right?
Right.
You still cannot take that.
Shards, put it in the trash.
You can't just put it in the trash.
No.
It has to be mixed with
cat
something. Any newspaper. So you can maybe partner with someone that does some type of recycling.
You can shred it into.
Use it as compost, but it still needs to be mixed with something. It has to be weighed beforehand. It has to be weighed after. So I mix it with 5 pounds of soil. They need to see 5 pounds of soil mixed with 5 pounds of marijuana shards, mm-hmm. and that you disposed of 10 pounds in XYZ places. But that is a business.
You got to take a little sample
you do.
Of it, too.
And you got to turn that into it because I have to.
Listen.
But that is a business that, once again, people keep missing out on.
See, you know what y'all have done for me? I got to bring y'all back again. Because the fact is, because this is the only way that our community is, one,
going
to be educated.
To Correct.
Two, that they will be informed.
Yes.
Correct. Three, they will have an understanding.
Correct.
I said four, right?
No, you said three. You're on
I said
four
three.
Then.
I'm on four. Then we will understand how we will benefit from this.
As a community.
If you just tune in, Leah Daniels and Jay Cook have been here talking about this. This has been the Community Focus Program. I am your host, Darnell Williams, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts, commonly known as Dr. D in the house. I want you to go out today. I want you to have a blessed day and a blessed week.
Community Focus.
Thanks for listening to Community Focus with Dr. Darnell Williams. Be sure to tune in next week for another segment of Community Focus.
Community Focus.
This is Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI and WEEI.com, Boston.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.